Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
So the whole stadium is built around this tiny tunnel,
that's fucking
which
great,
Maradona came out of. And then my dad slips in. Yeah. He's like, oh yeah, I was at that game.
Hello and welcome to Reminding You Why You Love Football, another award-winning podcast from Mundial. This is obviously usually hosted by the biggest of big cheeses, Owen Blackhurst.
Mm. Back with the big cheese thing again, yeah. Are you?
Big cheese, Owen.
Love it.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Previous episode, please listen. He is at a different face of the content minds today, the next issue of our brilliant magazine, so please subscribe. So I will be running proceedings for this particular episode. If you don't know who I am, I'm Seb White, co-founder of Mundial, and still can't quite believe that nearly 10 years on, I get to still do stuff like this.
Oh.
On the day this episode comes out, it's Brian Laudrup's birthday, which I'm going to use as a device to remind you that all our previous episodes are timeless and available wherever you get your podcasts from.
You're not just a pretty face, are you?
No. Well, this is it, you see. This is episode 42, so there's over 40 episodes for you, of you to enjoy. Don't worry about the first four. We were trying to be clever and doing it remotely. Sounds like it was recorded in an oven.
I kept forgetting my microphone.
Yeah, you kept forgetting your microphone, which is pretty key for a podcast. Since episode 5, we've been recording at the glorious Spirit Land in King's Cross, so the sound is perfect. Up to you. Have a listen to decide whether the content is perfect. But we are an award-winning podcast, Pod Bible's best sport and leisure podcast of 2023. Also on this day in 1990, I'm going to give you a bit of a history lesson. I'm going to make the most of this being in charge of the mic. I want to give you a bit of a history lesson. Something that combines sport and war.
Oh.
The coldest of wars, some would say.
Oh, wow.
Hello? On this day in 1980, the Miracle on Ice saw the United States beat the Soviet Union in the Olympics. I know what you're thinking. How can you, the USA, the good old USA, beating the Soviet Union be considered a miracle? Well, the Soviet team had won the last four gold medals in ice hockey. They were full of professionals, all professionals. The US team was the youngest team they'd ever had, all made up of amateurs, and they ended up beating them 4-3.
Wow.
And it is called, obviously, and because of that, it's called the Miracle on Ice. Probably the best ever Sports Illustrated cover is the Miracle on Ice cover. And the Miracle on Ice comes from the commentator in the last 10 seconds saying, do you believe in miracles?
Oh.
And just before the final whistle or the final hooter goes, he goes, yes!
And as we've proven, amateurs can get to the top of the tree.
Yes, exactly!
There's been books, there's been docs, and now there's been this 45-second summary by someone who's never watched ice hockey.
Weirdly enough, that's just reminding me of the Death of Stalin scene where Stalin's son is in charge of the ice hockey team. They all die in like a plane crash, and then he's just got like a bunch of prisoners and homeless people. He's trying to train them, and he's training them with like a shotgun and stuff.
It's a good film, that, isn't it?
Seems quite relevant to current affairs, that.
Well, exactly. Whoa!
Finger on the fucking pulse, James.
But, and again, I've shoehorned this in slightly because obviously I want to introduce the listener to all the people sat around me, and we do that in a...
People.
We try and do that in a funny way. I mean, you will be the judge of that. But to do this, I went on to the great website article, 69 Best Nicknames in Hockey History.
How many?
There's a reason. There's a reason you went on that one.
Yeah. Naughty Assad.
Naughty Assad.
And
for the benefit of the listener, he was also pointing a very camera finger at Assad when he did that.
Oh, I've taken some hockey nicknames from the past for you guys, or what I would call this band of silly puckers.
Oh. Mother puckers.
So we have to pay tribute to Owen Blackhurst, who isn't here. And obviously Owen is Owen the Great One Blackhurst. After Wayne Gretzky, the greatest one. I'm going to call myself Seb the Other One White. after Brent Gretzky, who only played 13 games and scored one goal. So, and again,
as Zoe might say, what does that say about you?
I know. But I thought it was quite funny.
I like it.
The other one. So
modest.
Today's podcast is being hosted by the other one. Just to my left here is a man I'm going to call James Cementhead Byrne. And this is named... Cementhead was the moniker for Dave Semenko, who was Wayne Gretzky's enforcer. So again, I think...
Oh, yeah?
Enforcer think, in what yeah, way? Would he just go around punching people?
Essentially, yeah. Awesome. So, yeah, he's just, you know, doing the hard yards and...
Doing God's work.
Clearing the path.
Cementhead Bird,
yeah.
I've been called worse.
Nothing to do with his haircut or anything like that. Which is very nice, by the way.
James had a very sexy haircut.
Yeah, very nice haircut.
Which you'll see if you're watching on YouTube. Great mind.
This is my favourite one. To my right, my co-producer, Tommy Pancake Stewart. Named after the goaltender Dustin Penner, who was given the nickname because he once put his back out while sitting down to eat pancakes. Now, I've seen a video of Tommy having a pretty severe back spasm during a church party gig. And yeah, let's just say, I wouldn't want to see him do that while he's eating a shitload of pancakes.
So. I thought that was just how he danced.
Folded over.
The fact that he didn't get up after 30 seconds made me think it was more than that.
And that was after that ACAST tournament where it turns out it was nothing to do with my back. I think I just broke all my ribs.
Yeah, brilliant.
I mean, you did
do very well in that, to be fair.
Oh, mate.
And finally, in the hot seat, the hottest of seats, some would say.
De Kaiser seat.
Wouldn't want to be you.
Assad the Fog Raza. Why the Fog, Assad, you ask? You're named after Fred Shiro, the Hall of Fame coach who got the nickname the Fog because he was so often lost in thought.
Nice. Yes, I do stare off into the middle distance quite a lot.
You are a pensive man.
I am.
Because he also couldn't use his Google Calendar.
Exactly that.
Just doing my thing, man.
Before we get properly underway, I want to give a big shout out to Finley Bird, son of Tom and Becca. They're avid listeners of the podcast, and we've got a new listener now. And James is also an uncle. So I think that's definitely worth mentioning and worth celebrating. So all the very best.
Yep. Lots of love. Finn, you're going to be a little bastard, aren't you?
Yeah. Another Wolves fan. That concludes the opening pleasantries. This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network, and we are going to spend the next 40 minutes or so, Tommy's going to keep an eye on that, reminding you why you love football. Right.
Sick.
Ed.
Hit it. So we dancing?
Yeah, I mean 30 seconds at least.
Oh, yeah.
Adventures in Club Life.
Yes!
That'll do.
Anyone got any iPod? It's a bloody tune. And that heralds that music, that beautiful music by Rainy Miller, heralds Adventures in Clubland. And we, this week, are going back to Manchester in the early noughties. No, it's not me.
Manny.
It's not me at university, don't worry. Not many adventures in any clubs, to be honest, really. Mostly just going to watch the Oval all the time at weekends.
When Sebastian Dennis White himself was pounding the pavement.
Yeah. Although the venue was quite good and things like that. But the venue. The venue was good, wasn't it?
I love the venue.
Yeah. It's not 42s. About me.
42s. Fucking love good. 42s.
We are in Manchester in the early noughties, 2001 to be exact. And we are going to discuss the brilliant, the mercurial, the grossly talented Ali Benabia at Man City.
I remember him.
For two seasons. Now, the reason I want to talk about him, and I'm surprised I haven't done it before, was because I used to work at Ladbrokes in Manchester Piccadilly, and all the City fans around this time, that's all they would talk about was Ali Benabia, all the time. It was like, let's just put this into context a little bit. Man United obviously recently won the treble, and all sorts, leagues of plenty. City had gone all the way down to league, or the third tier. The red side of the City is having a fucking great time. The blue side of the City is having a pretty awful time, but...
We just signed Van Nistelrooy and Varane, I reckon.
Well, there you are. This goes to show. But anyway, they're in the Championship, or the second tier of English football at this stage in the summer. And Ali Benabia turns up at the training ground. Now, let's just rewind ever so slightly. Ali bin Arabia is nicknamed, or was nicknamed, the Algerian magician.
Where did they get that from?
Oh, well, Algerian descent. And he played a lot of his football in France. And in fact, he was the best player in Ligue 1.
Played with a Kocha and all that.
Yeah, exactly. In 1998, ahead of the France World Cup. And actually wanted to get picked by France, but for whatever reason, didn't get picked by France. He then went to Bordeaux and he won the league with Bordeaux. He then moved to PSG and was made captain and played with JJ Kocha and players like that. Now, he was so highly rated in France. But somehow, in 2001, when he's 32 and he's approaching the tail end of his career, somehow he's been asked to go on trial at Sunderland, who at that time were in the Premier League. Now, William Mackay is his agent, and Ali bin Arabia arrives at Manchester Airport to get to Sunderland. And for whatever reason, William Mackay takes Ali bin Arabia into the city training ground. I think it's quite near the airport, maybe. To go meet, there's some other French players there. And all the French players know who this player is. And it was just to say hello. And Kevin Keegan's assistant, because Kevin Keegan is manager of Manchester City at the time, turns around and says, he's a player. Just after you left Newcastle, he played for Monaco and destroyed us in the Champions League. Mm. And Kevin Keegan's like, oh, you know, he didn't really know who he was. So they have a chat and introduce each other. And I think he has a couple of like loose training sessions. I think they say, oh, why don't you just come and do this?
Have you got your boots?
Before you go on trial to Sunderland. So he has a couple of sessions. And then he goes up to bloody Sunderland for a trial, which Peter Reid, who's the manager of Sunderland at the time, doesn't turn up.
Oh, Pete.
And so Ali bin Arabia is a little bit offended by this and thinks, fuck this, I'm going back to France. But on the way back, he stops off again at Manchester. And next thing you know, Man City have signed him and he's playing the first game on the Saturday.
Imagine that.
And it is fair to say he makes an instant impact for Man City. Anytime I think about Man City, or anytime we've done stuff on Man City, I go to my two go-to City fans, long-term friends of the pod, the Paris Angel, who people might know from Twitter, and also James Faulkner.
Two fine men.
Two fine men. And I thought, there's no point me telling you what impact he made on City fans. Why don't we actually ask the City fans what impact he made? So first up, we're going to have the Paris Angel who's describing his instant impact. And then we're going to have James Faulkner talking about his more broader impact. But two match-going City fans who know their shit.
He made his debut against Birmingham at Main Road. And his name's on the team sheet. And literally no one knew anything about him. Certainly the people who were sitting around us didn't know him. I didn't know anything about him. And then literally within 10 or 15 minutes of watching him, everyone just knew he was absolutely fantastic. What made it even better was that not only did he have no pace, he could barely run, but he had this amazing, he was always in space, but he always could beat a man. He joined when he was 32, left when he was 34. God knows what he was like when he was in his 20s, in his prime. But yeah, always be a hero for City.
Seeing a player with his kind of technical ability was like witnessing a wild vaquita, which is an extremely rare dolphin. There's only 10 of them in the world. It was like seeing a wild one around swim up the Ashton Canal. It was that much of a footballing culture shock. Bin Arabia was definitely the sort of heir to Kincladsey. He wasn't exactly the same type of player, but he was, in terms of exciting and in terms of the quality being so different to what was in the team, Bin Arabia was definitely Kincladsey's heir, in the same way I think David Silva is Bin Arabia's heir in terms of ability, flair. A final caveat, his last game for City was the friendly against Barcelona in 2003, which was the first game at what was then the City of Manchester Stadium. And fittingly, he was on a pitch for his last City game with Ronaldinho and Xavi, which sort of feels like where he belongs.
Lovely full circle moment there.
Lovely, exactly.
And to end the tape.
They're not saying he's the same. He's not saying he's as good as perhaps a Silva and players like that, or Ronaldinho, but they're being talked about in the same breath. So that should say how much the City fans enjoyed having him. And he absolutely tore it up that season in the Championship. Statistically, you might look at it and go, ah. But some of the stuff he's done and some of the videos, there is an assist to Sean Gota, which is...
Does he feed him?
He feeds him in the most delicate and most beautiful way I have ever seen anyone being fed. So basically, Man City are playing Gillingham away at Gillingham. So they're in a championship, so they're playing Gillingham away. This isn't, you know, should a player from Monaco, Bordeaux and PSG? Yes, they should be doing well, but should they be doing shit like this?
Oi!
So basically, just for the days, listener, he backheels it. He doesn't just backheel it, he scoops it up with the backheel that sort of bounces up perfectly timed for Gota to volley.
He's got like an inch of airtime off the ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's bounced up the tiniest bit and he's been opportunistic.
I'm fascinated by this period of football at the moment. The post-millennial years of football where the money was starting to go haywire. So you've got sort of 50, 60 million pound transfers starting to happen, 01, 02, 03. And footballers are far more than footballers, you know, Beckham, Ronaldinho, these are sort of Ronaldo. These are sort of huge figures of cultural power.
Yeah.
And yet, not everything has caught up. So you've still got an Algerian bloke no one's heard of somehow getting to the Man City training ground.
Yeah.
The manager going, have you got your boots?
Yeah.
And he has the trial, does well. Then he goes up to another place, Sunderland, and they go, And it's, you know, again, you've got these cross generations. It's Peter Reid up in Sunderland.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
Peter Reid and Kevin Keegan. Like, these men.
Yeah.
These, you know, it's Jesus and the dinosaurs again.
Yeah.
but like, that, those, and I don't like to look back with super rose-tinted glasses on.
No.
I don't like to go, it was better then. But those little sort of like magic happenings, a random player that no one's ever heard of, but has actually played for Bordeaux, has actually played for Monaco, is actually fantastic, was the Liga's best player, just turns up at your club and is suddenly on your team sheet. Like, you know, you now know about a transfer happening before the transfer has happened.
Yeah,
because of
Twitter. Yeah.
Then,
good point.
Half the City fans in the ground don't know who Ali Benarbu is. Yeah. They look at the team. They look at the team sheet on the program. There's a name they haven't seen there before. I don't know the last time I looked at a team sheet for Wolves and didn't know.
It just doesn't
happen. It's very exciting.
Very good point.
There's an element of mystery.
Yeah, even if someone like if a young player for United like Maino or someone comes in, you've heard about them.
Yeah,
you've read about them. My group at uni at university. So this would have been 2009. So it was just when City were getting there. And then as uni, that 3-year period was pretty amazing because half of us were United, half were City, and we'd all play football together and that. But he was still the guy. Kinkladze and Ali Benarbi was still the people that they revered about.
Yeah.
They're still their heroes, and they still are to this day.
Yeah.
Those lads who are in their 30s, who are my age, James's age, that's who they grew, their formative years of football.
Yeah.
They're as big a pin-up as Yaya Toure or David Silva or Sergio Aguero.
So when I messaged James, he was like, I said, just give us a 90-second, two-minute voice note on what you thought. About 12 minutes long.
Did he?
he said, I'm really sorry, but I've just loved reminiscing and talking about him. Because he was only 11 at the time when he's there. And this is his first proper hero.
Formative.
And it also, let's not forget, the reason why I think he's probably held in even more reverence is this is the last two seasons at Main Road, you know, as well. So before they moved to the City Manchester Stadium. So there's a lot of, they win the, you know, a part of Ali Benarbi, a best player. They win the league, go into the Premier League. And even by James's and the Paris Angels' admission, he doesn't quite cut it in the Premier League, more so because of his age, more so because of the pace, obviously, of the Premier League. So different. But like you heard the Paris Angel there say, you know, what was he been like 10 years before? He might have been a completely different thing. But
true fans know a true club legend.
Yeah,
doesn't matter when they did it or what league
and how they did it. Yeah,
they saw him. They saw him.
Yeah.
Can I just do a very quick shout out to like professional footballers having a trial?
Yeah.
I would like to hear more about trials. So I don't know at the moment. I don't know who, like Antoine Griezmann. He's gone for a trial at Liverpool. what does that look like? Right, you're going to do a passing drill over there, Antoine.
I wonder what it does look like. Then we want to do
a bit of shooting there.
Hey, Antoine.
I'm a World Cup winner.
And then if you're lucky, we'll do a bit five-a-side at the end of the day and just see how you fit in. I don't think it happens it would have been then.
No, definitely not. And the reverence that those two spoke about instantly when I messaged them about it, I was like, this is why we're doing stuff like this. Mm-hmm. 101 things to do in football before you die. This week, it's Tommy Stewart. Tommy, take it away.
Take them away, toys. Well, you can tell that Owen is away, and I always say this because I've been handed a segment.
Yeah.
Oh. Here we go. Here we go.
Tommy, what would you like us to do before we die?
Yeah. I would like us to go on a stadium tour.
Yeah.
A football stadium tour. I did this very recently. So the last time I did it for a Man United stadium tour was 1999 for my 9th birthday, would have been my brother's 7th birthday.
Wow.
We are, my brother's born 19th February, my dad's born 22nd of February, I'm born 25th of February, my older brother's born start of March, let's just say.
Yeah, blimey, what are they smoking over there?
I know, what?
Shagging in May, the Stewarts.
I was going to say.
Shagging in May.
Spring rabbits.
Once those cocks go, oh no, it's a bit early in
that. Yeah, but so the last time I went was then. I'll start off with the only sad thing about it. The stadium's not changed that much from my recollection, because I go there, I'm a season ticket holder and I've been for a few years.
Yeah.
You look at the stadium just as a fan, or you're looking at the pitch, or you only look at the section that you've been sitting at or standing at for the last few years. But to see it empty, to see it in that sort of state, is just something totally different. My older brother, Jamie, he is in his mid to late 40s. He's got two sons, both football mad. He coaches one of them, and then their cousin, my other nephew, George. So they're both Man United fans. George is an Aston Villa fan.
Yeah.
And for Christmas, and because they didn't want to leave George out, they got a stadium tour. He got a stadium tour for his two sons, nephew George, the Villa fan, me, my brother Rich, and my dad. So that's seven Stewart lads and three generations.
Three generations of Stewarts.
Yes.
All knocking around Old Trafford.
All knocking around. Find us any day of the week hanging out the back of Old Trafford. So I totally forgot about it as I messaged you the week before. So can I have the afternoon off on Tuesday? Because I've got this booked in. And oh my God, I'm not being too hyperbolic here when I say it was one of the best days of my life, genuinely.
Did you have your green and yellow scarf on?
My Norwich scarf.
Just spray painting glazers out on one of the walls.
As an adult, the other stadium tours have been on Ajax, Barcelona, Real Madrid.
Yeah. But
they're all fucking amazing. Obviously, they're amazing. Some of the greatest stadiums ever.
Yeah.
And I would argue Old Trafford is still one of the greatest stadiums ever, despite being very rusty. And, you know, it's very traditional.
Yeah.
And there was something, you find out a lot of interesting things actually as well. Like, for instance, one of the tunnels, the old tunnel that they used to come out of, the tour guide, Dave, he said, when Old Trafford was bombed in the Blitz, this was one of the only bits that remained.
Damn.
And they wanted to, when they rebuilt Old Trafford after World War II and built it up to what it is now, a massive stadium.
Yeah.
They wanted to knock down that bit, this original tunnel. And the people at Man United at the time said, no, we're not, because if the war can't take it down, then some builders aren't going to take it down. So the whole stadium is built around this tiny tunnel,
that's fucking
which
great,
Maradona came out of. And then my dad slips in. He's like, oh, yeah, I was at that game that Maradona was here. I was like, what? You saw Diego Maradona
play? That the first time
I've been working at Mondial for nearly a year and you've not told me this.
Ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, ding, ding. That's the Diego Maradona bell.
And I was like, what was he like? He's like, well, you know, Brian Robson was the hero that night. And they were probably at the time, maybe the two best, two of the best. Three or five players in the world, 1984.
Sure, yeah. So you find out stuff that you didn't know, even though it's a stadium that you know.
I've been to hundreds of times. Yeah.
Do you think that's what made it also special, because you've been there in so many different settings, but to actually see it on a quiet day, because I take for granted that in my line of work, and including Mundial, has taken me to a lot of empty football stadiums, and I always feel privileged to be in a football stadium when there's no football on sometimes, because it's quite nice just to take a moment. It's kind of eerie, but also you know, whichever ground it is, by the way, you might not have seen this team or watched that team ever, but you know that there's so many memories and history and stuff. Yeah,
you feel the history.
Unless you go to Milton Keynes.
You feel the history of it. So, like,
that's really beautiful to think about. Because when I've been in, I hadn't thought about that. But when I've been in empty football stadiums before, there is a real eeriness to it. Because you're thinking about the times maybe you've been in there before when it's been louder than anything. You're surrounded by people and noise and passion and emotion and memory and whatever else. You're thinking about that. If you're at one that you haven't been to watch a game at, it's spooky. You're sort of trying to imagine the noises, trying to imagine the smells and who's played on it.
And there was this bit that where he pointed out, this was the bit that really got me, kind of made me emotional. And it was a very eerie bit, but really beautiful. We're in the empty stadium and we're sat in the dugout where Ten Hag sits, etc. Yeah. And he goes, you see all the seats with the little black bits on them? That's for every season ticket holder who's had their season ticket for over 20 years. And I never knew. And then you look around the stadium, all these empty seats, and just sporadically scattered around.
Oh, wow.
There's these little black labels where they have their name put on them if they've had their season ticket for a certain amount of time.
That's a nice touch, isn't it? And again, that sort of stuff, I think, because everyone hears this, Glazers do this to Man United, and you know, it sounds like it was actually worth the money.
I think the first thing Sir Jim has done is revamp the tour.
Sir Jim,
very good.
But do you know what I mean?
Very good.
That's the sort of thing that gets forgotten about when you're losing.
No, 100%. So the blokes doing it, they fucking love their jobs. One of them was like a teenager or a young adult when the Busby Babes were playing in the 50s. He was about 90. He was called Alan. The other one was called Dave. Like, amazing. They were proper northern, northwest.
You have to wait for him as you walk.
Alan didn't have a fucking clue what was going on. Like, come on, Alan. He's what? You what, Dave?
What year is it?
Where are we going?
But then to see my nephew's faces. My nephews were so well behaved. I was being like, he was like, anyone been to the stadium before? I was like, season ticket holder, mate. He's like, oh, Tommy, you'll know this one then, won't you? And just stuff like that. And then we got to line up in the tunnels and he said, okay, the home team come out this side, the away team come out this side. Who wants to lead the away team out? And my nephew George, he's 7, Villa fan, he goes, me. He's like, who do you support, young man? Are you a Man United fan? He's like, Aston Villa.
Yeah.
I was like, yes. Go on, man. So he led them out and then they played This Is The One, walking out with all 7 of these Stuart lads. And then afterwards, this isn't even part of the tour. This isn't a 1-on-1 thing. But if you are in Manchester, you should know that you can do this. If you're at Hotel Football, which is right next to Old Trafford, and if it's quite empty, you just ask them and you can go up and play on the pitch on the top floor.
Yeah, I saw on your Instagram story.
So we had we had a 20-minute game of football of 3-on-3 Wembley, me and goal.
You didn't have to pay?
No. They just said, here's a football, go and have a kick about. It was so competitive.
The three generations.
It was awful, but in a good way.
In a good way,
My dad was giving me looks he's not given me since I was like 15 and tell him to fuck off. He was like,
whoa.
You've got that? Because I was referee because I was goalkeeper. He was just giving me fucking evil. He was like, nah, son, that's a fucking shocking decision. it was amazing. It was such a wholesome day.
For people that don't know, Hotel Football is the hotel literally opposite the stadium.
It's on the same, it's about 50 yards from Old Trafford.
Owned by the Salford mob.
It's a pretty good price. I think it's 28 quid for adults, 15 quid for kids, and then there's also some concessions as well.
The Club Mundial discount does not apply. However, if you want a tour of Hampton and Richmond, I'm sure I can do it for a fiver.
Just realised we've had Seb Dean, Ali Benaibra, and how good the clubs are in Manchester.
This is supported by Manchester.
Is this a Manchester Tourist Board?
Visit Manchester.com. I think it might have been the same day or the day after. I took Ava to the... I apologise once again for the Chelseafication of this podcast.
Stop apologising.
I went to the Stamford Bridge and took Ava to Stamford Bridge, and again, I've been to Stamford Bridge before and worked there as well. I've actually played on the pitch once, but we can go to that in another story. Watching Ava be excited by that is amazing. And watching
the kids' faces.
So just, genuinely do it. And if it's a stadium you go week in, week out, even more reason to do it. But if not, if you're in a place, most clubs would do it. Do Wolves do one, James?
Wolves do one. And when I was recently working at Wolves for the documentary that we made, we filmed in the museum. I realised I'd never been in the museum and then realised my brother and my dad definitely haven't. They go every week.
That's it.
There's a lot of untapped knowledge about things that you think you know.
And things that you will love because you are there because you love that football club.
I guess the best way to sum it up was the equal excitement in both my... 7 to 11 year old nephew's faces and my 71 year old dad's faces, just the exact same sort of faces, just shock, happiness, excitement, brilliant.
History in those walls, isn't there? History.
Yes.
Brilliant. That's a great one, Tommy.
Mundial joins the dots for football culture. And that's not a boast by us, but the words of an actual subscriber in our most recent reader survey. Why not see what they're on about and have a look at Mundial Magazine? 100 pages of global football magic released 4 times a year. It looks great, smells great, and the writing isn't bad either. Go to mundialmag.com or follow the link in the show description to find out more.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We support these now.
We support these. We support these. We support these now. We support these now.
Boo! Get into them! Get
fuck them
what
up! Get into them! Fuck them up!
Football songs, man.
Great. Let them know you're
there. They get you going, don't they? They get you going.
They're the best songs, I'd argue. Songs.
What is the best thing?
the best thing? That's
be cool. They are
sliced
the bread.
We're the best things since wrestling.
This week, we support these now. We've brought it back after a bit of a hiatus, and we've enjoyed doing it and talking about things that we feel are important to us but should be important to you. James, take it away.
Okay, so, yeah, I want to talk about Camden and Islington United. Who are, you know, a sort of grassroots team in North London, and they were recently lined up to have a game against a football club who go by the name MHFC. Now, leading up to this game, Camden Islington United found out that the real name for MHFC, and I can't really believe that I'm going to say this out loud, yeah, was Munter Hunters FC.
In 2024.
Year of our Lord. Which obviously has some less than pleasant connotations. After taking a closer look at the club that they were supposed to be playing against, they came across their sort of social channels and saw that they were saying some unsurprisingly derogatory stuff, if you're going to name your football team that. Camdenton United said, you know what, we're not going to play. We're not going to play against a team that is called this. And
this is a semi-final as well, isn't it?
It's a semi-final. It's a cup match. It's a big game. And it's the type of thing that I think we gloss over with football, because there are lots of progressive things happening with the game, and rightly so. And that's very exciting and can feel quite nourishing to observe that happening, especially with regards to what football was like 30, 40, 20, 10 years ago. And I think this was just a real sort of rewind back to something that I think is glossed over because definitely still exists. So they refused to play them twice, actually, because the game was then rearranged and they refused to play again.
Wow. Because I believe, and again, I think I'm going to shout out Susie Reck, who we've mentioned on this podcast before. She put this out on The Guardian and rightly, you know, and put the whole story together in one piece. But I believe that they did make they made a complaint, or certainly contacted the authorities, and let's just say their response was a...
I think it was just get on with it, basically.
Get on with it, yeah.
Their director of football, Camden Islington United, Ali, there's a quote saying, "We've received incredible support from the whole footballing community since taking a public stance against misogyny in football. We're heartened by the solidarity, but sad to have reconfirmed just how common our experience is and how rare it is that clubs take a stand. Words alone won't create change. So instead of playing the cup fixture this Sunday, we'll be cheering on our women's team."
Nice.
Yeah, that's really sound.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to say, like, the podcast is called Reminding You Why You Love Football. I think the best thing about this, like you said, was the reaction, not just of them to do that in the first place, but the people coming round as well. Yeah. You know, and I don't think it was like, normally sometimes you can say it's echo chamber and stuff like that, but actually there were a lot of people going, no, actually this is, and I've seen numerous posts on different social media channels of related to this, and it's like, yeah, hopefully... Hopefully it's a thing that people can take heart from and move on and move forward and be proactive like that.
And the other thing, it's so boring and it's so like ruinous. You're playing football, having an 11-a-side game on a Saturday or a Sunday, it's the thing that you look forward to all week.
Yeah,
like walking to
semi-final
work,
of a cup.
Walking to work, in the fucking shower, I don't know, doing a piss, cooking dinner, like you're thinking about who you're playing against and how you've played recently and what formation you're going to get. Are you going to start?
Yeah.
How many, are there going to be 10 people watching? 50, 100, like three?
Yeah, yeah.
And then just to, you know, realise that. Realise that.
Who's turned up today?
Someone's just ruining it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I
don't ruin things for people.
And not the best thing. Football's the best thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Football's best thing.
Don't ruin it.
We absolutely support Camden and Islington United, also known as Candy, I think.
Yeah, which is a really. Yeah. Which is a lot better than Hamrich.
Certainly a lot better than Hamrich, James. And we will not be talking about that on this podcast because we are reminding people why they love the bloody game. But no, all joking aside, well done, Camden and Islington United. And
keep
fighting the good fight.
We do support.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
We respect you.
Introducing The Hattrick, a new subscriber newsletter from Mundial. Each week, there'll be three stories linked by a theme. Stories from islands, stories about people, stories about heroes, stories about villains, stories about love, hope, despair, joy, and, of course, goals. Go to mundialmag.com to sign up to The Hattrick now.
Ooh, gotcha. We've hit the home straight. We've hit the home straight. We're going on to ins and outs. And I'm still here. We're all still here. And we're all still having fun, which is the main thing.
You're doing a great job, Sebby.
I'm going to start because I have the power because I get to choose whether it's in or out or not. And I can tell you now this is going to be in. But anyway, I'm going to say being honest with your mates and just talking about when you're not feeling great because it's 14:12 here. And I reckon about 4 hours ago, I was sat on a bench outside Richmond Station thinking, I'm not going to be able to make this today. I don't feel great. I feel like, the black dog was on my shoulder barking away like nobody's business. And I reached out to a very good friend who normally sits there and had an hour conversation with him. And it was brilliant because it made me realise that you've just got to say sometimes when you're feeling like shit, it doesn't matter. And it means, and I would also say that what it also means is that you should be there for your mates when they need you, and you should talk to your mates when you need them, because that, you know, we can talk about till we're blue in the face about being better with our mental health and stuff like that, but sometimes you just got to pick up the phone or send a message and just reach out your hand and someone will be there, because that's always better than not doing it. Because and I'm really fucking glad I came in now, because I've hosted this podcast with you guys, and otherwise I could have been, I don't know, the black dog would have been on my shoulder making far too many noises. And sometimes you just got to reach out and say, I'm feeling a bit shit. And do you know what? That's absolutely fucking fine.
Love you.
Bang on, mate, yeah.
Did
he's trying to make Tommy cry.
Did Owen say, well, you know what my mother would say? She'd say, do your tie up, put a proper suit on, and sing the national anthem. And you went, yeah, you're bang on there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm really glad I talked
wish
to you.
I wish you fucking had, because that really would have, that was brilliant.
Just that for an hour.
So, yeah. Anyway, that's in, isn't it? That's in, and so
yeah,
that,
yeah, come on.
That's in. But yeah, and I will just finish this off very quickly. For whatever reason, you don't feel ready or confident enough to reach out to your mates, there are plenty of things out there, Calm Zone, Samaritan, stuff like that.
That's where I started, just Samaritans.
Crack on,
well said.
Speak to your mates, and be mates to your mates.
Yeah.
In. Moving on, Tommy.
What are you?
If you smell.
Oh my God.
What the Rock is cooking. It's the road to WrestleMania.
Done that.
Oh. Oh my God. Wrestling at the moment. Fucking hell, lads.
Is it back?
Got you oiled up?
Oh, it's back. Like, honestly, Triple H's in charge. It's Cody Rhodes finishing his story. Dusty Rhodes is his dad. He's getting the belt that his dad lifted for 10 seconds, but then it was took away from him. He's back to finish his story versus the Bloodline, The Rock, and Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is the longest ever title holder of the WWE World Championship. He's been the title holder for about 4 years now.
Jesus.
Yeah, and wrestling is unmissable at the moment. It's honestly, me and my brother... in November, before I started therapy, therapy's been the main thing that's helped, to be fair. But we were bickering a lot.
And the wrestling.
Yeah, we were bickering a lot. But now, like, all we talk, every morning we're just sending each other clips and memes about wrestling. I'm addicted to it. And it's the best it's been in 20 years since the Attitude Era. It is unmissable.
Me and James spent about 20 minutes on Monday. This is not current wrestling, but we were looking at the Great Khali and Umaga and stuff. And I was talking about the old WWE
I know James
games
has been looking at the Great Khali an awful lot lately.
I was about to say that's all well and good, but have you seen what the Great Khali is up to?
What a legend.
WrestleMania is in April at some point, but it's over a whole weekend. It's two nights rather than one night now. Oh. And I will be watching it. I'll watch one night live, and the second one I'll hopefully watch with my brother and my nephews into wrestling on catch up the next day.
That is definitely in. I've rarely seen you so fucking happy. If you want to do reminding you why you love wrestling, then go and fucking do it. Joe Biamonte, you'll probably do it with him, won't you?
But no.
Me and my brother have spoken about starting a wrestling podcast. I say we've spoken about it. I said, do you want to do it? And he said, no.
Tommy, there's one thing you could do with in your life is one more. another podcast. Let's be brutally honest. Asad Raza.
What's up, big dog? Come for the king?
That's me. Yeah, yeah.
Mine is watching old football matches on YouTube. Do you know why? This started about a month ago when I watched the 08-09 Milan derby that had, you know, a cast of characters.
When you say our matches, can we just clarify? Are we watching full matches in full?
Full length. Yeah.
Full length matches, no highlight. This is full gear.
Would you say that watching a full football match instead of a clip is a bit like reading a book instead of watching TikTok?
Oh, James. He's stupid bastard, isn't he? He's good.
So I guess play the big book.
That's in. James, what are you putting in?
Might sound a bit lame, but it'll definitely spice up your evenings. A little bit is adding new recipes to your sort of rotation. I love cooking. It's one of my favourite things to do. But I realised recently I just sort of fell into a bit of a trap of cooking.
A rut.
Just cooking the same things. And I've got loads of great recipe books. Yeah. So I made it sort of my mission to go deep into the recipe books and have a look at things that I'd never cooked. There is a steamed aubergines recipe. Where you steam, like, as many aubergines as you want, cut them into fingers, I guess, steam them, and then just make an amazing sort of dressing with Szechuan peppercorns, sesame oil, soy sauce, chinkang vinegar.
Oh my God.
And they are fucking peng. They're really easy. It sounds bougie, but it's not. Just adding new recipes to the routine.
You said peng and bougie, but I'm going to put it in.
Oh, shit. Very good, sir.
Right, Alex, what things do we not like? I'm going to just go straight into mine because I don't want to be too bloody soapboxy, which I know I have a habit of doing.
So be soapbox.
But I just want to say, for a player of his talent and ability and also joy, I would say, I think I genuinely enjoy watching him, Cole Palmer's goal celebration is absolutely shit.
The ice cold?
Be better, mate.
Come on, Seb. No. I'm not having. I saw this. Come on. I'm not having this.
Okay.
I think it's great.
Let's have a democracy.
You know why, don't you? You know why he does that?
Why?
Because his nickname's Cold Palmer.
Yeah.
Again, still shit.
What do you want him to do? Like a double backflip?
He's kind of earned the right to do what the fuck he wants.
You seen that video?
In a shit Chelsea team.
In a rare moment of democracy in this podcast, I'm willing to say that my own.
Should we have a vote?
Should it be in or out?
In.
Cole Palmer's summer celebration is in.
Anyway. I love that Seb's host and it's managed. The thing you picked has managed to fail.
Sometimes I'm just too bloody nice. I did say talk to your mates. I wish I hadn't fucking bothered. Tommy, you're out.
It's grown men starting on teenage referees who are only getting like 20 quid to stand there in the cold. In January, February, March, December, all those cold shit months to stand there for about 4 hours, referee shit game after shit game. Yeah. And there is a bloke in my league there is a fucking goalkeeper and he's a disgrace to the keepers union, of which I am a proud member.
Yeah, yeah.
Who does it every week. If he's not start, and you know, he can start on the teenage referees, he will start on, he will heckle. He has been kicked out. They've attempted bans. He will keep showing up as a fan.
Mental.
But what is the point in taking it that seriously where you're in your mid-30s and you're going up and starting on a teenage lad? Yeah. Fuck off.
He sounds like, was he from Longsight? Did he have an anaconda in his bag? Is he trying?
His name is Asad Razi. Yeah.
It's not just
no. It's ridiculous.
Anaconda, just not grow just up, in my man. Bag.
At the adults, out.
Yeah.
We're staying on the football theme. James Bird.
I played the other night and I was absolutely terrible. It was like I'd never. Sometimes when I play, it's like I've never played before. It's quite interesting, really.
I hate that. No, I think we all.
Psychologically, I'd like to know why.
How did you take this? Because I know you can be very harsh.
I was a bit. I was actually a bit despondent more than anything. I wasn't shouting. So my out is slipping over on the pitch. I wore some new boots, and the first three times the ball was passed to me, fucking took a touch and then slipped.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good. But I'm glad you. But you were despondent rather than angry.
It was despondent.
Which I think is, you know, progress.
No, I don't.
You like it when I shout my name?
Yeah, I'm not sure if you do that.
I was terrible.
Yeah, definitely out that one. We're going to end ins and outs with Asad Raza.
My out this week is Twitter bots just A, invading my mentions, B, like 50 of the, you know, the raunchy ones following you on Twitter, and B, like when you go into a tweet, see a tweet that's like sort of interesting and sort of like, you know, it's like, about, I don't know, for example, about a football player you didn't know or the architecture of a building that you didn't know. And you go in it to see what other people, other human beings are saying about the central topic because you think it's quite interesting. And there's about 15 different videos by automated bots and shit.
Yeah.
It's been ruined,
mate. Who cares?
Mate.
It's awful.
Can't go back to the old
this
days.
This is why you should subscribe to Mundial Magazine because then you can go onto our Discord channel.
You can go back. Yeah, that is old Twitter, basically.
I'm thinking of turning the old bloody old bird app off. The old bird when I can't
it's not
be
a bird anymore.
Yeah, but
no.
I mean, yeah, it's a nuisance, but I think it's part of the slow death, unfortunately, of that. And I think we should all start moving on. Right. Yeah, that's out, Asad. So we have reached the conclusion of this week's reminding you why you love football. It would be remiss of me not to ask you to please leave a review. Honestly, it does genuinely make such a difference to the various algorithms and the various charts and all that sort of stuff. It makes a big difference for us and makes a big difference for more people finding out about the podcast, which if you've got this far and enjoyed it, then I'm sure you maybe know some other people that might also enjoy it. So please leave a review. Of course, this kind of content, shall we say, dare I say, the content word, is also what forms our brilliant magazine, which we are currently making the new issue at the moment, which is why Owen, obviously, is unfortunately not here today. So please subscribe to that as well, because genuinely, again, that makes a huge difference in what we're doing now, what we want to do in the future. So please subscribe to Club Mundial. All the details on mundialmag.com. We've also got the hat trick as well, which comes into your inbox every single week. So please, please, if you enjoyed this podcast, you've got this far, you're probably going to like the other things that we do. So Tommy, James and Asad, thank you very much. And yeah, all the very best.
See you next week.
Reminding You Why You Love Football is a Mundial and Football co-production. Produced by Tommy Stewart and Seb White, hosted by me, Owen Blackhurst, and recorded on the run.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.